but go to mommy's house.
Close in. Alright, let's see. Close in. Are you ready? All right, go.
You just sing.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Oh,
please
fill your name with all
hearts.
Our hearts full of praise, so be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the
God is so good?
Yeah.
You can just sing it.
Okay.
You can just say God is so good.
Okay.
Yeah, we know that one.
Okay.
Tell us which one it is.
God is so good.
Yes, he is. Lead us. Go ahead.
Thank you. God is so good. God is
Good evening, everyone. I want to welcome everyone out tonight. Thank you to the guys who got us started tonight, leading us in song and prayer. We want to welcome everyone, both members and visitors. If you're visiting, we're so glad you're here. We hope that you stick around a little bit afterwards, get to know us. We do ask that everyone fill out a card that you can find them in the pew in front of you to fill out, let us know you're here. And you can place them in one of the boxes out in the foyer. We still want to remember Patty Hunt, who has been moved to a rehab facility in Athens, so we want to continue praying for her during this process. The men's Friday morning breakfast has been postponed until after the first of the year, and it will begin sometime in the early spring. Our last announcement tonight, We want to remind everyone next week is the retirement service recognition for Sonia Cox. So we want to remember her and everything she has done and celebrate her. She's worked hard here for this congregation. If you would like to contribute to the Money Tree, you can see Judy Thompson or Linda Young. Again, that'll be next week after evening services. So let's all show up and give her our support.
Well, we're glad to have those back who were away at the retreat. Glad to have everybody together this evening. Let's consider the words of Psalm 71, verse 14, as we begin this evening. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. And we intend to praise him more tonight. Let's stand as we begin our worship this evening. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the
Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my name. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it really is a privilege to come to you in prayer. Thank you, dear Lord, for so many things you've done for us and so many things you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the changing of the seasons, for the fall and the beautiful colors that we get to enjoy on your earth. Thank you, dear Lord, for our church home here at Florence Boulevard, for all the members here. Thank you, Lord, especially for our elders, for the four men that serve and that serve in a faithful capacity and adhere to your word and your guidelines. Thank you also, dear Lord, for our ministers, for Alston and John and the great job they do. Continue to be with them and their families and give both of them many, many years in your service. Thank you, Lord, for Don Williams, who will be speaking to us tonight, and for the faithful service he and his wife have had at the children's home. Continue to bless them and help them. Be with Don as he brings the word to us tonight. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for our country and for so many things that you've done for our country. Dear Lord, our country was founded on biblical principles, and we regret to say that so many have fallen away from what the country was founded on. We hope and pray, dear Lord, that our leaders and future leaders will look to you for the guidance that they need to lead our country. At this time, dear Lord, we want to remember those who are in areas of conflict in Ukraine and especially in the Middle East, in Israel. Dear Lord, the atrocities that were committed last weekend are just unthinkable. Be with those people over there, dear Lord, those that are grieving. Give them comfort. Be with those that will be deciding what will be done. Help them to make the right decisions and to do what is your will. Dear Lord, we pray that everything we do tonight will be done in accordance with your will. Continue, dear Lord, to give us those things we need. Keep from us those things that we don't need. In Christ's name we pray, and amen.
We prepare our minds to spend some more time in reflection on the cross. We've seen how deep the Father's love is.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How
anyone need a communion packet who may not have gotten one? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, this is what we talked about this morning. Let's look at verses 28 through 30. This is something that I often like to go back to kind of focus my mind and kind of remember what Jesus has done for me. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Here we find the final statement of Jesus on the cross. In three simple words, it is finished. He closes out his life, a life that was perfect, sinless, and was a lesson for all of us. He came to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill the Old Testament. And he accomplished everything that God set in motion from day one. His death closed the old covenant and brought forth the new. His finished life gave us a new life. This body that was broken for us was broken because of our sins. The blood that he shed covers our sins and makes us whole and makes us pure in the sight of God. The Jewish people, they had to offer many different sacrifices, and that just kicked that sin on down the road. But with the death of Jesus, it purified us, and it ended all of those sacrifices. He became that pure and holy sacrifice for us. Let's pray together and let's reflect on that broken body. Father, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. We're humbled to know that a man who knew no sin came and took our sin, Father. Took my sin on that cross for me, for all of us, Father. That it held him there, that his body was broken for us, Father. His body was broken because we could not bear that. Father, we're thankful for that. And we pray that our minds go back to that cross and back to his broken body, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Bow with me again and we'll pray for the vine. Father, we're mindful also of the blood that was spilled from Jesus. That holy blood that forgives us of our sins, Father, that through our baptism that we're covered from those, that we no longer have to make the sacrifices you required of the Jewish people, Father. We're thankful for Jesus' holiness and all that he did for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Separate apart from the Lord's Supper is our offering. We do this as a time of convenience to where we're all together. We give back to God a portion that he's given to us. So let's pray for that offering. Father, we're thankful for all the things that you've done for us, all the physical things that you give us, all the things here on earth, Father. We're thankful for the strength of our bodies, the talents, the skills, Father, the knowledge of our mind that you give us to make a living for ourselves. And we pray for that offering as we give back to you, Father, a portion that is yours. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Before Brother Don brings us the message this evening, we'll sing To God Be the Glory. If you'd like to stand as we sing this song, we ask that you remain standing as we have a reading from God's Word immediately after.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
Starting in verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here am I today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. You may be seated.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 13, and we'll be looking at something there in just a moment. Robert Coates told me this. I don't know if it applies to tonight or not, but he said he heard about this preacher that was up preaching, and he looked up in the balcony, and his son was there with a little rubber band, and he was shooting something down toward where the people were. And so he's about to stop his sermon and get on to his son when the son said, "Dad, just keep on preaching, and I'll keep them awake." I don't know if that applies today or not. But anyway, we want to talk about Caleb, the man who wanted a mountain. When we think about folks in the Bible and the Old Testament, we think about great men like Abraham and Moses and David. But what about Caleb? He too was a part of those 12 that went out to look at that land. And there's some things that we can see about his life that I think were very, very great. First of all, Caleb was great because he believed while others doubted. Here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we have God talking to the people of Israel. And notice here in verses 1 and 2 what he said. Numbers chapter 13, begin with verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Among those 12 was Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh of the tribe of Judah. Notice that he told them, "We want you to go out and we want you to spy out the land for 40 days. We want you to see about the land and what it's about. Bring back produce from that land." But notice that he had already told them, "Which I am giving to you." The war was already over. The battle wasn't even about to begin, but it was already theirs. God said, "You do this, and I'm going to give you this land." And so for 40 days, they go through the land. There in verse 20, he tells them, "You be of good courage and bring back the produce." And so we have those 12 men. We have them. They didn't have any problems gathering the grapes, but they had problems gathering the courage. Unlike Caleb and Joshua. You see, they saw the greatness of the land. Later on in this chapter, you can read and see how they name all the enemies that are there, all the people that they're going to have to overcome. They had forgotten that God was going to be with them, and that with God, they were invincible, and yet they chose not to do this. Remember Paul, who from a house arrest made that statement in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me," Philippians 4, verse 13. These ten spies saw the magnitude of the problem. But here, Caleb and Joshua saw the possibilities of the situation. They saw only the obstacles. Look at verse 27 of Numbers chapter 13. Here are the people giving the report 40 days later. "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go against this people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people who we saw are men of great stature. Therefore we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" They saw the greatness of the land, and yet Caleb and Joshua saw the greatness of God. Caleb tried to talk them out of it. Later on in chapter 14, in verses 6 through 9, Joshua and Caleb once again tried to talk the people into following God and not what they saw around them. Verse 6, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They saw the greatness of the problem. Caleb and Joshua saw the possibilities and the opportunity to allow God to do what they did not think could be done. I am told that in the Chinese language, the word crisis has as a second meaning an opportunity for change. And that's what they saw here. They saw an opportunity for change. Of the 12, can anybody here name the other 10? No, we can't unless we read it in Scripture. There's a point there. If you always see the negative in life, people will often forget you for who you are. Caleb and Joshua are the ones that we know about. You see, real leaders look at problems and see challenges, not roadblocks. Caleb didn't see the giants, but he saw the Lord. He said that the Lord delight in us. He had faith that that would happen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, would talk about those who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. What made Caleb and Joshua believe when the others doubted? They looked to God and not to themselves. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 31, what should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or again, John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Here was Caleb who believed when others doubted. But secondly, Caleb was great because he kept the faith when the going got tough. Later on in chapter 14, God is fed up with these 10 that have come back and turned the people against Caleb and Joshua. In fact, they wanted to stone them, the Bible tells us. And so God is ready to wash his hands of the matter in regards to them. And listen to what it says in Numbers chapter 14, beginning with verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel made against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who are numbered, according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And your son shall be shepherd in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. It sounds like God was ready and fed up with him, wasn't he? And of course, we know that that happened. And Caleb and Joshua, along with their families, had to bear the brunt of the majority in this case and go through that 40 years of wandering where all those folks that had spoken against God died in that process. Nothing is said about Caleb or Joshua being upset at God for having to bear the brunt of someone else's mistake. And yet you can see that that could easily have happened. Here they were standing up for God, risking their life, and yet now they too, along with the families, have to bear that brunt, have to bear that walking. Often the greatness of a man or a woman is seen when they're willing to suffer for the cause of right without complaint. Finally, after these 40 years, when they're going to be able to go into the promised land, God tells Moses to choose another leader. And that leader is Joshua, not Caleb, but Joshua. And in chapter 27 of the book of Numbers, you can read how that Moses lays his hands upon Joshua and blesses him and gives him instruction. Once again, Caleb could have easily said, what about me? I too went through this 40 years of wandering. I too stood up for leadership. In fact, he seems to be speaking more than Joshua does. Yet nothing is mentioned about that. He was willing to do whatever it took to be the person that he needed to be. When in fact, he could have easily said, well, why would I have to suffer? You know, as I was preparing for this lesson, I thought about the time and age in which we live. That there seems to be, maybe because of COVID, maybe because of the situations there, maybe because of what's going on in the world, that there are more and more people that feel like they are entitled to things. That word entitlement wasn't used a great deal until after 2020 when COVID came. But you see people beginning to say, well, I was wrong and I need to be made right and you need to do the right things. And Caleb could have said that, but he chose not to. The other night, I was with Lisa right before church services on a Wednesday night. Now, for those of you who are older, you know that Captain D's has specials for those who are older. You're not there yet, but it's going to be well worth it. Just keep that in mind. And so we were there, and it was getting closer to church time. And so I'd gone up not to complain, but just to make sure that my order was right and that they, you know, had it perhaps ready. And so I'm standing there, and there's a fellow in front of me, and he's giving the fellow behind the counter just fits. He's wanting to know where his food is, and finally the food comes out. He looks at it and begins to curse the guy. I thought, there is no reason for that. And he was complaining about the fish, that the fish on his plate was too small. And I'm just standing there thinking, why in the world are you? His wife comes up to try to run interference. And I'm thinking, why are you causing such an issue about this? He had ordered a one-piece fish and shrimp, and that was what was on his plate. But Mark, as he turns around, he looks at me and says, you see that fish? Later on, I thought to myself, I wanted to say, where? But I didn't. I just that would have made it worse. I didn't do it. I thought it, but I didn't do it. Why is it that people think they have the right to complain about things when folks are doing the best thing? This fellow didn't grow that fish. He got what he asked for, and it was there on the plate. And yet, a lot of times, people will see things differently. And sometimes if they're not picked or they're not chosen or they think that they are not given the right thing, they can throw a fit. Back in 1942 in Nashville, Tennessee, when the Churches of Christ decided that they were going to have a great gospel meeting campaign, and they were going to do it at the War Memorial Building, have thousands to come, they wanted to choose a right minister to preach for the Churches of Christ. There in the town of Nashville was Athens Clay Pullius, a well-known gospel preacher who had preached there in those congregations for many years. But the elders, the different elders from the different congregations, came together and decided they would ask N.B. Hardeman, president of Free Hardeman College at that time, to come from Henderson, Tennessee, and to hold those gospel meetings. Some of the brethren there in Nashville were concerned. They were concerned that Brother Pullius might get his feelings hurt because he was a local minister and they had brought somebody in from outside. And so some of the brethren went to him and they said, Brother Pullius, we hope that in no way you'll be offended by the choice that has been made. And we just want you to know that we'd love to have your support in this matter. As the story goes, Brother Pullius looked at them and said, if I can but help sweep the floors of the auditorium to make this gospel meeting successful, I am more than willing to do so. That's the attitude that Caleb had. Greatness is often seen in the service that we render unto others. As our Lord would say in Mark 10, verses 44 and 45, Whosoever of you shall be chief shall be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Go to John chapter 13, and you see that that final supper, our Lord at supper time, after all the disciples had come in, after no one had chosen to wash the feet of others, he gave them time to get up and do something about it, but they didn't. And so then he took the towel, and he was willing to wash their feet. He was willing to be the servant because no one had chosen to be that servant. Our Lord was of that nature, and Caleb was of that nature as well. Thirdly, Caleb was great because he never grew old. From the reading of Ben, we read that here's a man on his birthday, the day that he's turning 85, talking about things in his future that he wanted to be a part of. Sometimes folks in their latter years of life have done some of the greatest, best things for America as well as for the Lord. Churchill did not reach his peak, it is said, until 65 when his country needed him. Daniel Webster was 70 when he produced his dictionary. Ben Franklin was 81 when he upframed the Constitution. Tennyson, at age 83, wrote the beautiful poem, Crossing the Bar. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote some of his most brilliant legal opinions at the age of 90. Here was a man, age 85. He's been wondering for those 40 years. Now, 5 years later, as they were beginning to dispense the land, now in the promised land of Canaan, he comes back to Joshua. And listen to what he has to say. The readings that we read earlier, Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12, is what we're looking at. He said, I am this day 85 years of age. He didn't have time to blow out birthday candles. He had a land to conquer. He had giants to run out. And that's exactly what he did. Winter had come every year, but he was too busy entertaining spring to notice. Think about the problems that he had to deal with. First of all, it was the grasshopper complex. That's what the people had said 45 years earlier. We're seen as grasshoppers in their sight, and that's who we are. He had to overcome that. He even had to overcome the giants in the land of Hebron that Moses had said he could have. It's interesting that in Numbers chapter 13, verse 22, those giants are named. Three giants and three names. Sheshai, meaning I am noble or who I am. Ahiman, gift or what I have. And Ronnie, I like this one the best. Talma, because his name meant big enough to pull a plow or what I can do. An 85-year-old man was going to take these giants on. And they would come to him in essence and say, this is who I am, this is what I have, and this is what I can do. And Caleb would say, not so fast, my enemies. You haven't met my giant. I am that I am. And with them, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 15, verse 14, that he drove those giants out. He had to overcome the idea of gray hairs. We don't know if he drank Geritol or if he drank the waters of faith. But whatever the case was, he had this mountain that he wanted to claim for his own, that God had promised him. And the secret for his success is found in that reading of Joshua chapter 14, where three different times it says, I wholly followed the Lord my God. There was no question about his allegiance. There was no question about his courage. There was no question about his determination. There was no question about his commitment to God. You see, this wasn't just any land. It was Hebron. The word meant fellowship. It was hill country. which meant that it was up above. There were enemies down below. In order for him to get to his country and to be able to claim that country, he was going to have to, first of all, fight all the enemies down below, have lands and have roads to be able to go up there and be a part of that. But with those enemies about us, he had a God who was above us and above him. And because of that, he was able to take that country because he had wholly followed the Lord his God. Finally, the greatness of Caleb is seen in that in the latter part of his life, he was a blessing. Look at Joshua chapter 15, where we read that his daughter comes to him, and she asked the question, or he asked the question in Joshua chapter 15, verse 18, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Asha, his daughter, asked this after she had gotten married. Here he is, even older than 85. Here, after all the fightings that's going on, taking of the land, now in his latter years of life, here is a man who was giving a blessing to his daughter in order to take those lands, in order to give her those springs. He would once again have to fight the battles. He would once again have to run off the enemies. But he was willing to do that because he wanted to give this blessing unto her. In this audience tonight, there's some older people. What blessing are you presently working on to give to your family? What things, long after you're dead and gone, are going to continue to be a part of your family because of the blessings that you've handed to them? I'm not talking about land. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about gold. I'm talking about those things that are immortal. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, the writer says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold." Long after you're dead and gone, will your family be blessed because of the good name that you left behind them? What about the lifestyle that you are living? Are you living in such a way so that you can pass that on to the next generations? Joshua, the Bible said, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, said to the people of that day, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And it tells us that they did that until he died at the age of 110. Are you doing that with your family? Are you living in such a way so that there's no question about where you're going to be and where they hope to be because of the life that you're living? Younger couples, can I say to you, more is caught than taught. It's not just your words, but it's what you back it up with that show how important it is. Is Christianity something that you take with you wherever you go? Whether you go to the beaches or whether you go to the mountains, God's church is going to be first and foremost. Because you see, when worship services become optional and not a commitment, it will more often become a passing thought to the next generation. That sadly is a great fact. If it's not important to you now, more than likely it's not going to be important to them in years to come. More is caught than taught. This morning I was looking at Facebook and I saw a good friend of mine. In fact, I was able to do her wedding some 15 to 20 years ago. Now she is married, has two children. And they were talking about how that they had spent 15 hours at the ballpark yesterday in Huntsville. Some of you have been there. You know what I mean. When those tournaments take place. Ironically, they won it, the county championship. that same young lady along with her husband this afternoon, I'm almost sure, was at the Bible Bowl competition in Huntsville, Alabama at the Chase Park Church of Christ. What were they saying? Ball's important, yeah. But not just church services, but those studies of Romans in which you're going to have 205 questions to be asked. That also is important. So we're going to make the time to do both. More is caught than taught. When I am old, how glad I will be if the light of my life has been burned up for thee. How important it is for us to do that. What's the mountain in your life that you desire God to give you? Maybe it's the soul of someone that you want to work on. Maybe it's some changes that you need to make in your life. Maybe it's that sharing the example of Christ with a loved one before you draw your last breath. Like Caleb, we need to say, give me this mountain. If tonight there is something in your life that separates you from being the example that you need to be, as a child of God, why not allow brethren to pray with you and for you, or to help you in that journey with whatever mountain it may be? And if you're not a child of God, by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, put them on today so that then you can grow that faith and lead your family for generations to come. We sing this song to invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.
Both of those messages today. And thank you for being here this evening. We encourage everybody to be back for our midweek Bible study. It happens Wednesday night at 6:30. This time we'll close with a song and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. When my way groweth drear, pray.
precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone.
God, thank you for giving us another day of life and another opportunity to come and worship you and to be with each other and be with one another. We ask that you be with us as we leave here and go our own way and take care of us throughout the week until we meet again. Be with the people in Gaza, in the Middle East, over where all the fighting is going on, and just help it to end soon and with as least amount of casualties as possible. We ask that you be with us always and keep us safe, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.